Today's Shiur Masechet Chulin Daf Lamed, and we will begin on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. In the previous Shiur, the Gemara had quoted the opinion of Levi Saba, Dengle Shechita El Lipsoif, which means, as we've been learning and will learn extensively, the halacha is that Shechita is a process, specifically when we shecht behemis. We have to shecht both Simonim, the Kon, and the Veishet. And the question is, what is the critical moment of the Shechita? Levi Saba said that it's only the last moment when the Shechita is completed. That's the critical moment. And we learned in the previous year that no, the other opinion holds, Yeshna Shechita B'tchil V'atzoif, the entire cutting is considered the act of Shechita. And the Gemara quoted a Mishnah Masechta Parah that discussed the Halach Sapara Aduma. Well, we know the halach is that if somebody, whoever is involved in the parma duma becomes tamei. And the Mishnah discussed there, if somebody began the avoida when he was, and the act was a qualified act, and then it became disqualified, who is tamei, what is tamei, and the Gemara wanted to relate that to our question. And the Gemara successfully refuted that it has nothing to do with our issue. Says Rava, if there's anything to be asked from the subject of Parah Aduma to our subject, this is what should be asked. Amar Rava, ikashli ha-kashli. This is the question. Amanda Amar, English Shechita El Lipsoif. According to Amanda Amar, the last moment of Shechita is the crucial moment. Lifelike, so why wouldn't there be the following distinction made? Bechshera de Parah. When, unlike the Mishnah, which we quoted, is discussing a situation where the Parah Aduma was brought improperly. Rather, let's discuss a situation, says the Gemara, where the Parah Aduma was brought properly. What does that mean? Kigoy, the shechtu v'trei gavri. It was shechted by two individuals. The gavr kama loy metama. The, let's say, two people shechted the Parah Aduma. So if we hold yeshna l'shechita mitchila v'atzoif, then both individuals who were involved in shechting the Parah Aduma are doing something important, and therefore, by both of them, the halacha is that they will become tamei. That going to shechtu betray gavra. So if we say yeshna l'shechita mitchilvat soif, both of them should be tamei. If, however, ein l'shechita ela b'soif, then the halacha should be gavra kamaloi mitama. The first person is not doing an act of shechita, because ein l'shechita el b'soif. And since he's not doing a really critical act, or a really meaningful act, he shouldn't become tamei. Only the gavr baser matama, only the second person becomes tamei. The fact, says Rava, that no such distinction is made in the Mishnah, is clearly an indication that the entire act of shechita is considered an act of shechita. And therefore, even if both people are involved, therefore both people who are involved in the shechting the Parah Aduma are considered doing crucial actions, and therefore become tamei. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Yosef, Trei Gavra Bechad Zivcha Kamrit, you're trying to discuss with two people shechted one animal, Bamei Namahu. That can't be a case that the Mishnah would discuss. The Tanina, because the Braisa teaches us, Tizbach, Shleishnaim, Shoichna Zevachachot. You can't have two people involved in the Shechita of one carbon. Furthermore, Tizbachua, Shleichachot, Shoichot, Shnei Zvachim. One person shouldn't shech two kabbonis at one time. Subjects that we'll discuss in the Mishnah on the Aflam and on the base. So, as the Mefarshim explain what the Gemara is saying here, the Pasuk begins B'Loshon Rabbim. And then it switches to Lashon Yochad, Lashon Yochid. Why is the Pasuk switching to Lashon Yochid? To teach us you can't have two Shoichtim. So you want to say that that's what the case the Mishnah should be discussing, with two people Shechted, not supposed to have two people Shechting. And as Tosfos points out, that even though the Halacha is that the Evid of two people Shechted, it's Kasher, so why can we say that that is what the Mishnah should be discussing? So Tosfos answers, since L'chatchila, that's not the way the Parah Aduma should be brought, that two people do the shechita. So it's not a question why the Mishnah doesn't discuss it. The Mishnah is discussing when it's done properly, not when it's done in a b'di'evediga fashion. Furthermore, I saw that the Mefarshim ask, here we're learning that by kachim, there's a din, two people shouldn't shecht at the same time. So, and we learn it on the, based on the pasuk that we just discussed. Ask the Mefarshim, why do we need a pasuk? Isn't there a rule throughout halacha of ein ois mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? You shouldn't do mitzvahs joined together. Each mitzvah should be done separately. So of course you have to shecht each paraduma separately. So Mefarshim answer, I saw the Shem Tzion Balacha discusses this. He says as follows. There's a difference where there's a mitzvah you're obligated to do. So there's a mitzvah you're obligated to do, every mitzvah should be done individually. Here we're not talking about a mitzvah that one is obligated to do. You're not obligated to bring a paraduma. If there are people that are tameh, they want to become tar, you have to bring a paraduma. There is no rule of enois mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. That's why we have to have a special limit. Vamrav kahana tis b'chuk siv loshin yochid. Ask the Gemara. So that's why says the Gemara, we're not speaking about when two people shechted, because as we just explained, l'chatchila, two people should not be shechting a paraduma. Amar Abaya asks Abaya, I don't understand your answer. Lav itmala, have we not learned regarding that? Amar Rabbi b'chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zu divir Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon b'sismasah. This opinion that two people shouldn't shecht the carbon together is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Avach chamim, the chamim disagree. And we obviously are going to follow the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold even l'chatchila beis shechtum zavach echad. Two people could participate in the shechting of one carbon. So saying that that is why the Mishnah doesn't discuss it is difficult. It's not following the opinion of the Chachamim. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, or Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon nami liflik. Let's make the following distinction. Yes, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon insists that only one person shecht. But as we said, Parah Aduma has this very unique halacha. That's Matame Tahirim. Whoever is Tar and is working with the Parah Aduma becomes Tamei. And not only does he become Tamei, but even what he wears becomes Tamei. So why don't we say, Kigoyin the Shachat Chag Gavra. Indeed, only one person is doing the Shechita. But he's wearing Shnei Sudra. As Rashi explains, he's wearing two jackets or hats. And in the middle of the Shechita, they took off one hat and put on the other hat. The sudra kama loy matama, the sudra basra matama. Why don't we say that if we hold ein l'shchita el l'psayif, the hat that was worn, the garment that was worn during the first part of the shchita and wasn't worn during the second part of the shchita is not tamei, because the shchita is only at the end. The fact that no such distinction is made isn't clear, isn't seemingly an indication. The Yeshna L'Shchita, the Tchila V'Asayif, says the Gemara, a different answer altogether. Indeed, the Mishnah should have perhaps made that distinction. But that isn't, says the Gemara, the subject of those Mishnayis in Masecht Paro. The subject of the Mishnah is B'Psua the Paro Kamari. We're speaking about when the Paro was brought improperly. B'Chsheiroi, when the Paro Adum was brought properly, and now making the distinction that was brought properly, and which person is Tamei, which person isn't Tamei, which garment is Tamei, which garment is not Tamei, L'Kamari, that isn't the subject of that Mishnah, and therefore isn't discussed in Masechta Paro, and therefore isn't a Raya one way or another. So what we're still up to is that we have this Machloikis, if Yeshna L'Shchit Metchil V'Atsoif or not, and the Gemara is trying to prove it from different halachas. So an introduction to the next Gemara, we have to remember a pasuk that the Torah says, L'sishchet al chametz dam zivchi. Pashup shat in the pasuk, as everybody learns, is that one may not shecht a carbon Pesach if he's still in possession of chametz. But as the Gemara Masechta Pesachim teaches us, that isn't what the pasuk is limited to. The pasuk is actually teaching us that if any time during Yontif one brings a carbon and he's bringing the carbon properly, but he owns chametz, that carbon he's over that lav of leisishchel chametz dam zivchi. However, there is one caveat, and that is if the carbon is being brought properly. If the carbon is not being brought properly, so then some say because shchita shenaruya leishma shchita, the famous opinion of Reb Shimon. Some say there's a special limud that only a kosher carbon, only by kosher carbon is there this lav, otherwise not. So the Gemara asks, it says in Masechta Pesachim, the Mishnah as follows, Ubemayid, l'shma potter, shloi l'shma chayv. So Pash Pshat in the Mishnah is as follows. Pash Pshat in the Mishnah is that we know that a carbon Pesach is supposed to be brought Erev Pesach. What happens if on Erev Pesach you lost your carbon? So we know that the halacha is that if you lose your carbon, you take another animal. Now on Yontav you have this animal left over. So Pash Pshat the Mishnah is teaching us that if on Yontav you bring that animal l'shem carbon Pesach, you'll be potter. Because there is no carbon Pesach on Yontif. And as we just learned, since there's no carbon Pesach on Yontif, you're not over the lav of like Sizbach al Chametz Tam Zivchi. Shloi Lishma. But if you brought it Shloi Lishma, so the Gemara is now learning that it's a carbon Shlomim on Pesach. There is a carbon Shlomim, and if you bring the carbon Shlomim on Pesach, and you own Chametz, you're over the lav. Vavinimba. And in understanding this line of the Mishnah, there's asked the Gemara the following question. What did the Mishnah say? Tama the Shloi Lishma. The Mishnah said that if you brought it Shloi Lishma, you chayiv. Because then it's carbon shlomim. Hastama. Let's say you had no intent. It seems to be that you would be potter. So Taisvis asks the question. The Gemara is being medayik from the Sefer. Again, there's four or five words in this whole Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'mayu Lishma potter, Shloi Lishma chayiv. So the deek of the Gemara is, specifically if you brought it shloi l'shma, that's when it's a carbon shlomim yichayiv. Stoma, you'd be potter. Ask Taisus, why didn't the Gemara make the deek from the Reisha? The Reisha seems to be, only if you brought it l'shma, that's when you potter. Only if you brought it l'shem carbon Pesach are you potter. If you brought it shloi l'shma, if you brought it stoma, you'd be chayiv. So we can make a deek from the Reisha and the Sefer differently. So Taisus' question on Rashi's pshat, which is the gears of Al Gemara, is why is the Gemara focusing on a deek from the Sefer versus a deek from the Reisha? And because of this question, Taisus has a whole different gears in the Gemara. Taisus' gears in the Gemara, Vavinaba, we try to understand, Lishma, if you brought it Lashem Karim Pesach, during Pesach, we're saying you potter, why are you potter? Isn't there a halacha? According to Taisus, the Gemara's question is, Pesach, B'shayi, Moshe, Shonim, Shlomim, who? It becomes automatically carbon Shlomim. And if it becomes automatically carbon Shlomim, and you're bringing your carbon Shlomim on Pesach, when you own Chametz, you should over the lav. But let's learn the Gemara according to Rashi. Uvavinimbo, and in understanding the Braisa, the deek of the Sefer was, specifically if you brought it Shloi Lishma. If you brought it Stama, you'd be Potter. Ask the Gemara, V'amai Potter. Why would be considered that you're bringing a carbon that's an invalid carbon? And since it's a disqualified carbon, you're not over the lav. Ask the Gemara, isn't there a halacha that we learned numerous times in Masechta Pesachim, in Masechta Zvachim, the Pesach B'Shayi Moshe Shonim Shlomim Hu, that it automatically becomes a carbon Shlomim? Shmamino, isn't there a raya from this Mishnah? The Pesach B'Shayi Moshe Shonim, if you're bringing a carbon Pesach, during Pesach, if you bring an animal that was designated for Karma Pesach, any other time, it doesn't automatically become a Shlomim, unless, by Akira, you specifically had in mind it should be a Karma Shlomim. And therefore, the Mishnah there is teaching us, if you didn't have that intention, it doesn't become a Karma Shlomim, and that's why you're not over the lav. Says the Gemara, V'amrav Chiba Gamda, Nizruka Mepi Chabura, the Chabura that was learning this Mishnah, says, no. It doesn't necessarily mean that a Pesach B'Shayi Moshe Shana requires intent to make it a carbon shlomim. But we learned the case of that Mishnah, which is the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah, that you have this leftover animal. You designated an animal for carbon Pesach, got lost, took a different animal, and now you're left with the animal. That's not, says Rav Chiba Gamda, what the Mishnah is discussing. It's talking about the following situation. Hachamai Skidin, the Baalim, the owners of this animal, designated this animal for Karban Pesach. They designated the animal for Karban Pesach, and they became Tamei. Since they became Tamei, they can't bring the Karban Pesach. What is the halacha if an animal, if the owners become Tamei? We all remember the parashah in the Torah. The Nitchin, the Pesach Sheni. That they'll bring a carbon. But instead of bringing it on Yud Aleph Nissan, they're going to bring it on Yud Aleph Iyar. So now, let's think about this animal. This animal was originally designated to be a Karban Pesach. Could it still be brought for a Karban Pesach? Absolutely. Maybe not on Yud Aleph Nissan, but Yud Aleph Iyar. The Stama L'shmokoi. So this animal is designated to be a Karban Pesach. That's why, says the Mishnah, says Rav Chiya, for Hochu to be a Kira. Since this animal could be used for Karban Pesach, that's why the only way it loses that identity is if you had in mind specifically it should be brought for Karban Shlamim. Ha'acher. But if it was the case that we've been discussing all day today, where you had an animal and you replaced it, and now the first animal is found, right by a Kira, it automatically becomes a Karban Shlamim. I wanted to say you could leave it for next year. Too old. The halach is a Karban Pesach could only be within its first year. So a month later it could still be the right age. A year later it can't be the right age. Now, now the Gemara makes the point that's relevant to our sugya. Iyam b'shlama. So now ask the Gemara. If we're going to say the yeshtem l'shchit metchil v'atzayf, that shchita begins at the beginning, so let's understand what happens with this animal. This animal that was supposed to be a Karban Pesach, if Shalei Metchila Shechita, as soon as the person starts shechting it during Pesach, which he shouldn't do, it becomes disqualified, and therefore it can't be used. And therefore, it's not a Karban Pesach, it's not a Karban Shlamim, and therefore, you're not over the lav of Leishish Bar Al-Chametz Tam Zivchi, even if you own Chametz. However, makes the Gemara the point. Early Amit Ein L'Shchita El B'Soif. When does Shchita really happen? At the last moment. So ask the Gemara, let's analyze what happens here. Kiven the Shachar Be'Purta, as soon as he shechs the first amount of this animal, it's Chlei Me'Pesach. It can't be a Karban Pesach. Why can't it be a Karban Pesach? Simple. This Pesach, it's already middle of Yontif. We speak about Shia. We're going to learn later in the Mishnah the Shia of Shia. Pausing. Everybody agrees that pausing from Pesach to Pesach Sheni is considered a Shia. That there's nobody going to disagree. So you can't bring this carbon as a carbon Pesach. So before you got to the crucial moment of the Shechita, which is what is the crucial moment of the Shechita? The last moment, it's no longer a carbon Pesach. It's already carbon Shlamim. Idach, Kishachit, so when you're doing the rest of the Shechita, Shlam Kishachit, you're sechting a Shlamim. So why are you not over the lav if you own Chametz? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, correct. This animal that you should have left for Pesach Sheni, the moment you start cutting its neck on Pesach, can never be brought on Pesach Sheni. Ne'er the itchleim of Pesach, it can never be used for Karban Pesach. But midmei Pesach mi'itchi, it hasn't been completely eliminated from being used for Karban Pesach, because you could always sell the animal and use the proceeds to buy another animal that you bring on Pesach Sheni. So what are we saying that after you shech, if we hold, Ein L'Shechita El L'B'Soif, it already becomes a Karban Shlamim as soon as you shech the first part, before you come to the end, which is the crucial moment? No, it's still Pesach. It may not be usable as an animal as a Karban Pesach, but it could use for its monetary value. Ask the Gemara, but isn't there a halacha that when we want to be paid the kachim, we want to redeem kachim, there's a requirement for hamad of arach, it has to be standing and assessed by the kayim. This animal is unfortunately half dead. You already cut part of the simen. But, answers the Gemara, Vatanan, the Mishnah teaches us, shachar b'shnayim, oyrov shnayim, even if you shechted both simonim, most of both simonim, v'dayin himafracheses, and the animal's still convulsing, it's still jerking around, harei kachayel chodverts, considered still alive. So why was your problem that how could you say that it's still Karban Pesach because of its monetary value? Monetary value requires a mod of arocha. Says the Gemara, a mod of arocha is possible here. Why? Because it's still mafacheses. Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand what this means, that because it's mafacheses, harei kechayel chod v'rel. Some Rishonim say that an animal or anybody is not considered dead until it stops being mefarches. And therefore, this animal that's still being mefarches, it's not dead. And the din that you need hamada harocha, or that hamada harocha is not possible, is only said by dead animals. This is not a dead animal. It's one approach. It's the Meiri's approach. Another approach is that there's a fundamental physical difference between humans and animals. Humans, after they had Rechmon al Tzlan, if they were geshachten, they're not considered alive anymore, even if they're still mefarches. Animals have more vitality than humans, and therefore animals, even if they were slaughtered, until they completely are subdued, they're still considered alive. The Paiskim use this, it's a very difficult child to discuss, the Paiskim use this to discuss if a person is already clinically dead, is he considered halachically dead regarding questions of organ transplants, etc. So our Gemara has discussed already for almost a blot the sugya of yeshno shchita metchila v'atzoif or not, and the Gemara hasn't resolved the issue. It's a machloikis. So I saw that the Paiskim, the Shalz of Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov, wants to connect this issue to an interesting question. There's a machloikis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. We know what halach is, that a child who was born naturally, whose eighth day to do the bris is on Shabbos, we do the bris on Shabbos, even though it's Shabbos. So the question the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss is, should you have preferably 1 mile or 2 mile? Shulchan Aruch says you should preferably have 1 mile. The Ramah says you can have 2 mile. 1 mile doing the chaticha, the other mile doing the pri, one doing the meal and one doing the priya. What is the question dependent on? So Chelkas Yaakov wants to say a very interesting pshat. We all remember the episode in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu's family is on the way to Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu's son Eliezer did not have a bris milah, and the Malach wanted to devour him, and Tzipora saw what's happening. V'tikach Tzror, she took a reed, the tichros, and she cut the milah. And the question is that a woman's disqualified to be a male. So how could Tzipora done the milah? So the Mefarshim give two approaches. One pshat is, that tikach tzipar doesn't mean she did it herself. She arranged that somebody else should do it. Another pshat is, she started and Moshe Rabbeinu completed the milah. What is the basis of this two pshatim? If you hold yeshn l'shchita metchila v'atzoif, so tzipar could not have done any part of the milah. So she had to have somebody else do the entire milah. If we hold ein l'shchita el l'psoif, the fact that tzipar started the milah isn't the problem, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu finished the milah. The same issue is regarding Shabbos. If with the milah, if we'll say that each act of milah is considered an act of milah, so you could have two separate milah, because every milah is allowed to do it. If, however, we'll say the milah is one long continuous act, so you can only have 1 milah, because otherwise the milah who's starting and doesn't finish was just mechal Shabbos for no good reason. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Merav, Hashach b'shnayim b'shloish mekamis, as somebody shechs two or three different spats, shchitasik k'sheira. The shchit is a shchit k'sheira. Kamisik amei de shmu, when this was set to shmu, amalei, b'inen shchitim ufras, we need a completely open shchit of alekam. Big machlokes for Sharim how to understand this Gemara. Machlokes how to understand what Rashi says, Taisus already says. The Meiri has the easiest pshat. Very few people agree with the Meiri's pshat. His pshat is that we know, we've been learning you have to shecht roiv shchit, roiv the simen. So you didn't shecht, you shechted a little here and a little further and a little further. And if you combine all the cuts, you have roiv simen. That's easy pshat. But very few people learn that pshat. So I'm going to learn the Gemara the way most Rishonim learn Rashi's pshat. What happened here was that the person made a small cut. Then he made a large cut. Maybe then he made another small cut. What is going to be the halacha? So, says the Gemara, it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, it's fine. Because you have that middle cut that covers the roiv of the simen. Shmuel holds you have a problem. Because Shmuel says, even though normally, when you cut most of the simen, if that's the only cut you have in the simen, the cut, we learned this many times, will expand and uncover the entire simen. Here, because you have other cuts in the simen, it prevents that cut from opening up completely. And that's why there's a machlokes rishonim that how to learn Rashi's pshat. Most rishonim say that Rashi is specifically speaking about a case where you made a small cut, so it's not a valid shechita, and then you made a large cut. So that original small cut, which isn't a shechita, prevents the second cut, which is a shechita, from being a good shechita. But what would be if you did the other way around? You first made a big cut, and then you made a small cut. What would be the halacha? It could well be that then Rashi would hold it's fine. Because as soon as you did the first cut, then it's fine. Nothing could disqualify it. Others say that Rashi will agree that it's not good. It's really based on a Gemara that we're going to discuss in a few moments on Amud Beis. In fact, there are others who want to say that it's connected to the previous Shaila. Because there's a real question. What does this Gemara have to do with the previous Gemara? Of Yeshen L'Shechit Metchil V'Atzayif. So if you hold that Yeshen L'Shechit Metchil V'Atzayif, therefore the Gemara is teaching us, even if you started with a good cut, so shouldn't you say it's fine? No, because Yeshen L'Shechit Metchil V'Atzayif, so you have to look at the second cut. And therefore, since the second cut prevents the first cut from completely opening up the simen, it's not a kosher shechita. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos quotes the Shiltas. Tosfos quotes the Shiltas, who learns pshat in the Gemara as follows. You have the circumference of the kanah, you have the circumference of the veishit. You made the cut all around the same area, but you didn't make one continuous cut. You cut a little, you left it full, you cut, and then you left it full. So if you combine all of the cuts, you'll have rov of the simen. But it wasn't cut in a continuous cut. That's how the Shiltas learns. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different pshat. Rabbeinu Chananel says what it means is that you cut the kana and then you cut the veishit, but you didn't cut the kana and the veishit in the same spot. The kana was cut either lower or higher than where you have the cut on the veishit. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. So again, Amar Yehuda Marav, Hashak b'shnayim b'shloshim mekamos, shchitasik shera. Kamita kamedi shmu, Amali, he said to me, v'inin shchitim b'fras v'leka. Says the Gemara, it seems that so is the opinion of Reish Lakish. Domer Shimon ben Lakish, Menayin l'shchita shum ufras, how do we know the shchita has to be a completely open cut? Shenema, chet shochet l'shoinem mir medaber. But the pasuk is teaching us that shchita is compared to an arrow. Now an arrow, when it cuts something, it cuts it straight across. It doesn't cut it in many cuts, in multiple cuts. Maser, Blazer, ask Blazer, we're going to learn the Mishnah, Amud Beis. It says in the Mishnah, Beis, Oichsim Besakin, if two people are holding on to the knife, V'shoichdin, and they're shechting at the same time, I feel Ech Lamal of Ech Lamata, even if one is cutting on the upper part of the simen, and one is cutting on the lower part of the simen, Shchitasoi Ksheira. It's a Shchita Ksheira. Ask the Gemara, Amai, V'leka Shchita Mefras, if they're cutting in different spots, of the simen, according to the way we're learning now, cutting in different spots of the simen prevents it from being a good shechita, or certainly that the simen should be completely exposed. Amalei Reb Yirmiya, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not speaking about two people holding one knife. Two people holding one knife can never be good. Why? Because it's not going to be shechita mafras. We're talking about besak and echad b'shnei bnei adam. One knife and two people holding that one knife, two people holding the same knife. That means two people holding two knives is never good. That was the previous case. This case is one knife with two people. Ask the Gemara, Omle Reb Abba, I don't understand. Ihachi, Hanatanova. There's a Bryce explaining the Mishnah. The Bryce says, Ein Choshin Shem Yitfuzel Zeh. Why does the Mishnah have to teach us this case of two people? Because we're not concerned that when we have two people, they're going to make a treif. What does that mean? What does the braisa mean? Says the Gemara, Iyam b'shlama, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is speaking about a situation of shtei sakinim, shnei bnei adam, two knives with two people, so we can understand the concern. Shaper. We can understand the concern of shem yitfu zel zeh. Because ma'atayma, we should be concerned that perhaps, leichesh dumu samcha adadi, if two people are shechting with two knives, we know the halach is, the first mission of our perek, that you have to shecht roiv simen. So if I'm shechting and you're shechting, and we each shechting with our own knife, I'm going to say I don't have to shecht roiv simen, because you're going to do it. And you know how it is when two people do something. Everybody relies on the other person. V'haylo aslam eved ruba. V'haylo aslam ruba. Each one of us isn't going to do it properly. K'mashim one. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that if two people are shechting with two knives, ain't chayshin. We're still not concerned. Everybody's going to do it properly. However, ask the Gemara, if, as you're now defining, as Rabbi Yirmiyahu is explaining that the Mishnah is speaking about, sakin echad v'shnei b'nei adam, one knife, two people, we're using one knife. Since we're using one knife, we're going to see what each one of us is doing. So the concern isn't yitrfu. The concern is shem yidrisu. That since two people are doing it together, you may not do it in a shechting motion, and halacha vayvah, you'll do it in a pressing motion. That's what the Brisa, that's how the Brisa should explain the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, indeed. Amalei Reb Avin, Tani, indeed, the Brisa should read, Ein chashishin shem yidrisu azalza. Ask the Gemara, Masu Reb Avin, it says in a Brisa, Shachra saveshit lamata, Vesakana lamala, if you shech the devashit lower down, closer to the body, and the kana higher up, closer to the head, or vice versa. As the devashit lamala, vesakana lamata, shchitasik shera. Ask the Gemara, if you're not cutting it straight through, you're not going to have a visible shchita. Amai v'leka shchita mefras, and why is it considered kosher? Answers the Gemara, who moisev lohum v'farakla, v'shchita suyika komis. What happens like this, you didn't cut it in a straight line, but you cut it on an angle within the permitted area. So since you cut it in an angle within the permitted area, it's going to be shchita mefras, because it's a straight, it's a complete cut through both simonim. And as the Mefarshim explained, the truth is there's a chiddush even that you could cut one simon on an angle. But it's a bigger chiddush to teach us that not only could you cut each simon on an angle, but you could cut the two simonim on a straight angle going from one simon through the other simon. Kulmus, we explained previously, means like a quill which gets sharp on an angle at the top. Says the Gemara, Hu Torah, Dishchut v'shnayim v'shlosh mekaymus, there was a axe that was shechted in two, three places. All Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Masa, Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Masa came, shokloi mishufrei mishufrei. He took from the choicest part of the animal. Amlev Zera, Lemanatana Rabbeinu, with your action you have taught us that when the Mishnah says, Shnei Bnei Adam, we don't have to say, as Rav Yirmiyahu said, because he was trying to defend Shmuel's opinion, that's talking about one knife and two people. We could say it's even two people and two knives, because obviously Shchita and Roy Mekaymus in a number of places are still a valid Shchita. Shnei B'Shnei Sekina B'Shnei B'Nei Adam. And Mefarshim say beautiful Pshatim in explaining what Rav Shmuel Bar Masa did here. One Pshat that I saw is as follows. We know that in Halacha there's a concept of Basar Shaher by Chacham. The meat that there was a question about, people try to avoid. In fact, in contemporary kashrus, the word glat has come to mean actually basar shahir b'chacham. Because otherwise, how can you have glat chickens? There's no such thing as a glat chicken. The answer is when it says glat on a chicken, it means that there were no shilas on the chicken. So the question here is, how did Rav Shmuel bar Masa eat from this meat? It was basar shahir b'chacham. Says the Gemara, that Rav Shmuel bar Masa, when is it considered basar shahir b'chacham? When there's a shaila. If there's no shaila, it's not considered. If you ask a question just because you don't know something which is obvious, it doesn't become basar shahir b'chacham. Rav Shmuel bar Masa was saying it's so obvious that a shchita that's done in a number of places is l'chatchila kosher, it doesn't fall into the category of basar shahir b'chacham. One pshat. There's a number of pshat. I'll say one more pshat. Nice pshat. But the Gemara is saying is as follows. When a Rav paskins a shayla, there's a difference if he has a personal stake in the shayla or he has nothing. If somebody comes to Rav and asks him a question that has nothing to do with the Rav himself, certainly he's allowed to paskin the shayla. But if the Rav has negiyas, if he has an involvement in this question, he's not allowed to paskin. So what the Gemara is teaching us is a beautiful. Rav Shmuel bar Masa had negiyas here. He wanted to take the choicest piece of meat from this meat. So how's he allowed to pass on the shayla? The answer is that when is a rov not allowed to pass on the shayla when he involves himself? when it's truly a shaila. But if it's not a shaila, if it's obvious that the Rav is allowed to paskin. Said Rav Shmuel bar Marsa, even though I have a personal stake here, stake, no pun intended, but I have something personally involved here, I'm allowed to paskin, because it's so obvious that it's mutar. We've learned previously that one of the actions that disqualifies a shechita is chaloda. You put the knife between the siman. And the Gemara now begins to discuss chaloda. Actually, the Rishonim all mention that it shouldn't have been mentioned here. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Lamed Beis, the sugya of chaloda. Why is it being brought down here? So first we say, since chaloda is so similar to the case that we just discussed, so that's why it's continued here. Because chaloda is the opposite of a shechita mufras. So says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, hechlet es a sakin, bein simen l'simen. If somebody borrowed in the knife between the two simonim, paska, and like that he cut the simonim, psula. That's called the chaloda. Tach es ha'or, if instead of shechting on top of the neck of the animal, he's put the knife in between, under the skin, on top of the simonim, kshela. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon. What is Rav Yehuda Marav teaching us that we haven't learned? We're going to learn, as I said, the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Beis. Oysha hachlet as a sakin, tach as a sheni. If somebody put the knife under, cut one simen and put the knife under the other simen and cut it that way. So everybody disagrees that it's a disqualified shechita. The machloikas only in that Mishnah, as we will discuss, is that Rav Yishev Vaymer Nevela. Rav Yishev will consider it Nevela. Rav Kiva Vaymer Treifa. But everybody agrees it's not acceptable. So what is Rabbi Yehuda Marav teaching us that the Mishnah hasn't taught us? Answers the Gemara. In Masnisen, if we only had the Mishnah, have me in a we would think, somebody stuck the knife in, cut the lower simen from top to bottom, and then cut the upper simen going from the bottom of the simen upwards. That's when the Mishnah says it's not a good shechita. Why? Because the shechita is supposed to be that you shech the simen from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. Avo mamal mamata. If you took the knife out after you shechted the lower simen and you shechted the upper simen from top to bottom, which is a derech shechita, maybe it should be considered a valid shechita and should not be considered chaloda. Eim shapadami kamash malam. Says the Gemara. We've just learned tachas or if you stick the knife in under the skin, and you cut the simonim from top to bottom, but you don't cut it from the top of the skin, just from under the skin, that's not considered chaloda, ksheira. However, by Rav Amri, tachas or, if you stuck the knife under the skin, ain't a yideya. Maybe it's not. Why? Because the knife isn't visible. Ask the Gemari, Bailu le Bay Rav. According to the Bay Rav that have this chumadigger approach, tachas or any idea. If he puts it under the skin, I don't know. What would be the halacha? Tachas matlis mahu. Most Rishonim explain that if there's a piece of material on the neck of the animal, and the Rosh explains that it's not a piece of material just draped over the neck, but it's actually connected to the neck of the animal. The Rambam disagrees. According to Rambam, just if it's draped, it would be the same halacha. And you stuck the knife under that piece of material. Is it like sticking it under the ear or not? Tachas semer mesubach. Or let's say the animal has wool or hair that's all knotted together. And you put the knife under that knotted hair. Mahu, what will be the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a taiku. Interesting to point out that the Mefarshim debate how to understand this Gemara. Some explain the Gemara is tachas, the Gemara is going in a progression. It's not clear in what progression the Gemara is going. Some say tachas or is worse than tachas abeged, and tachas abeged is tachas worse than tachas serem mesubach. Others say just the opposite, and others say they're all equal. And Rashi says that in all the questions we have to be machmer. So Mefarshim say, why do we explain Rashi? Why do we have to be machmer? It's certainly a valid shechita midrash. It's only the rabbanon, and don't we have a class sofik the rabbanon lahaku? So I saw a number of terutzim in the Achroinim. One terutz is that there's a nafkamina in halacha, a very interesting terutz, where we have a question We know throughout Shas, the halacha is Safek d'Rais l'chumra, Safek d'Rais l'chumra, Safek d'Rabbanan l'kula. First of all, when the Gemara uses the word teiku. When the Gemara uses the word teiku, then you can't apply the concept of Safek d'Rabbanan l'kula. Others say that here we have a cheskes iser, because it's ena zavuach. And others say that that's why over here we have to be more machmer. Others say it's a shal and d'Rais, because it's a shal of halacha l'moshe Sinai, which is considered the d'Rais. Ask the Gemara, by Rapapa, interesting question. A person shechted roiv of the simonim. A person shechted roiv of the simonim. And after he shechted roiv of the simonim, he did chaloda on the last part of the simon. And the way most mefarshim explain the Gemara is certainly, if he shechted one simon, didn't yet shecht the second simon, and did chaloda on the second part of the first simon, that would be possible. What happened here was he shechted both simonim properly. And then he went back. This is sometimes a lesson in life. Too much is not good. He went back and he did the last part and he did it with a chaloda. The miyat basra. This is the case of chaloda b'miyat basra. Ray Rashi learns. And the Gemara is teaching us that chaloda b'miyat basra is a shayla if it's not good. And here the Gemara too remains with a teiku and Rashi says it's l'chumra. So obviously the question that all the Rishonim and Achronim ask is what would be the halach of yeshechted roiv simon? It's perfectly fine. So why if yeshechted the miyat basra with a chaloda does it become disqualified? So the Rishonim and Achronim explain. Because enochanami, midaraisa, as we learned in the first mission of this parak, roiv of the simon is enough. That's the midaraisa. But even though midaraisa, roiv of the simon is enough, the Torah still wants you to shecht both simonim. It gives you a dispensation that you could shecht roiv. But when you're shechting both simonim entirely, when you're doing what really is supposed to be done, this is the way Beis Halevi explains, you have to do it right. And if you shechted the last part with a chaloda, it's disqualified. That's how the Beis Halevi learns. Others explain, here by you shechting the second part, you're showing that you want to shecht the entire simon. If you want to shecht the entire simon, shecht it properly. And that's why, as I said, Rashi says that a chaloda b'miyat basra is l'chumra, because the Gemara remains with a teiku. What about hagroma b'miyat basra, which is a question that we discussed in the last parak? So Rashi says, if over here we're learning that a chaloda b'miyat basra is an issue, so too will be the halacha by hagroma b'miyat basra. There are other Rishonim, the Rivan, that says no. You can't compare a chaloda b'miyat basra to a hagroma b'miyat basra. Why? He says a beautiful nafkamina. Chalod b'makom basra, b'miyat basra, you did the chalod in the right place. You just did it with a chalod. So when you do shechita in the right place, improperly, you have a question on your shechita. But when you do hagroma on the last part, hagroma means that you're shechting in a place that isn't the part where you're supposed to do the shechita. So the Rivan says that isn't the same. And even if chalod b'miyat basra is a problem, Hagroma b'miyat basra may not be. Rashi disagrees. Furthermore, shiur b'miyat basra, we're going to learn in the next dafim, what the halach is on shiur b'miyat basra. Regarding ikur b'miyat basra, most poskim, the Dr. Tshuva quotes, are lenient by ikur b'miyat basra.